All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. October the 16th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is actually beautiful. Sunshine, that big-ass nor'easter that's been tormenting us for the last few days, has finally moved out. The sun is shining. Grass is getting cut again. It was quite a predicament. I'm really glad. I'm grateful I cut my lawn before I went to Mexico because, man, it is. We had a bit of a situation when we got back, and my neighbor, he's like, "Can you cut my grass?" And I tried, and I couldn't because it was so damn long. But I think we're all going to get it all fixed up today. And, you know, these are big problems, right? Big problems in life. But yeah, beautiful day. I thought I would come upstairs, see if I could do a podcast. I am working today. I want to get back into the routine of doing this podcast. And so I wanted to come up and see. I got to work in a little bit. So do a podcast, get ready, go work. You know, whatever, doing the things we do. I've been sharing in the podcast here that I am changing up my meetings. And it's kind of traumatic. It's kind of bizarre. You know, one of the things that was helpful for me when I got sober was some sort of routine. You know, I was in a routine before I got sober. That is for sure. I went to a meeting yesterday, and the reading was, you know, I changed my meeting. So the meeting I went to yesterday, yesterday was a fucking mess, quite honestly. You know, I wanted to go to that Wednesday morning meeting. I was supposed to paddle. Times got changed in paddling. I had to give up going to the meeting. Ended up going to paddling. Got yelled at by my coach because I was late when I actually thought I was early. Times had been changed. I was unaware of all these things. I had made the deal that I would paddle, but I had to go to a meeting at 8. And initially, paddling was at 9. I said I would be 5 minutes late. No problem. We'll see you then. And then in the meantime, they somehow changed all the times, ended up moving it up to 8. So I thought it was at 8:30 because I had to move that time. And so I'm showing up, and my coach is yelling at me, "I told you it was 8. And I'm like, "Bitch, what you coming at me like this for?" So it was a weird morning. Luckily, I got to get in a boat and paddle out my frustrations. We did 8 miles out in the lake, which was awesome. I totally needed it. Get them freaking demons out of my body. I'm not living unless I am suffering. And that was some serious suffering. But to make a long story short, I had to adjust my meeting yesterday. Ended up going to the noon meeting at Dry Dock, which was great. And it turns out it was as Bill sees it. So it all worked out in the end. There was a lot of opportunity for me to kick up a lot of dust and shit, but it all worked out. Thank God, right? But the whole point was, you know, routine. And before I got sober, I was in a routine that I could not freaking get out of, man. Every single day, drinking. And the story that we read talked about this sort of, you know, before getting sober and how we ended up getting at that point. And, you know, it's easy for me to step back today and go, geez, I see how it all played out, right? You know, weekends, adding in a weekday, next thing you know, we're drinking every day with friends and celebrating, and then in the end, I'm drinking by myself. And remember having those conversations in my head, like, you know, and not saying I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable, but me saying, wow, if I buy too much alcohol, I'll drink it all. And just being astonished how I got to this place, and it had become quite a routine. And so when I got sober, I remember going to my first meeting. I don't know what day that was. I'm just going to say it was a Monday. And then going to a Tuesday meeting. And I shared in the meeting, if it wasn't for Ron M. coming up to me and saying, "Hey, man, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor," I don't know if I would be here today. That's just how important it is to reach out and help newcomers. But I remember going to the meeting on Tuesday, and I probably went to a meeting on Wednesday, and I probably went to a meeting on every day of that week. And when the week rolled around, I went to that meeting on Monday, right? And I started to build a routine. And it's really what saved me. Ron M. and the routine and him suggesting I go to meetings and me being allowed to go with them and feeling like I was part of something. I shared in the meeting yesterday how special I felt when Ron M. told me that he would be my temporary sponsor. I felt like I was part of something. I felt special. And that was really a game changer for me. And got into that routine and have been in a routine ever since I got sober. You know, fast forward, and that's sort of what I shared in the meeting yesterday, is that I don't remember those days of the stitches and all that shit. I mean, of course I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday, but it doesn't have that, you know. There was a time I was thinking the shame and guilt would flow over me and the embarrassment, I'd be mortified by my behavior. I don't feel that way today. It doesn't have the same power, and that's one of the good and bad things about recovery, is we get time and then we slowly forget. And then what I learned later on is that it is important for me to keep my routine, because I do not go to a meeting every day, but I at some point decided I will at least make 3 meetings a week. I think that's more than a lot of people go. I don't know, but I think it's the job I have. And so, you know, I've been in this routine. And to change the routine, my God, has been really, it's been a spiritual upheaval a bit. And but I tell you what, it's been good. I went to the meeting yesterday. The weirdness set in last night when I did not go to my home group, which is sort of the reason I'm making this change, is because of all of the success that my home group has. And I just need a little bit, you know, I like smaller meetings. Choosing my religion, maybe choosing my meetings. But yeah, yesterday was weird. And then I ran into a guy at the grocery store that I know from the meetings. And he's like, are you going to Friday? And I go, I don't think so. Had to explain to him. And then I had to get an opinion. Yesterday for a simple day, it sort of was a little bit chaotic. But I do believe I'm doing the right thing. The meeting I went to yesterday was terrific. New, fresh faces. Know most of them. But it's great to mix it up. And I know, as a person that's been sober for a long time and working on this, it is important that I recognize that. And believe me, when I'm going to do something like that, I have to make sure my motives are correct. It's not personal. I discussed it with my sponsor and a couple people, and I think I'm making the right choice. You know, I'm still getting to meetings, so it's all good. Yeah, yesterday was an interesting day. You know, there's people in my life, and I'm sure there's people in all of our lives that, you know, for me as a sober person, and I'm talking sober, right? Like time, sober, meetings, working with others, helping out, right? Working the 12 steps of this program in my life, being able to reflect, having that spiritual awakening, being sort of stricken with the, you know, looking, pulling the curtain back and sort of seeing how I operated for so long and how, you know, I still operate. And so when I have people in my life that, whether they are an alcoholic or not, you know, I don't really know, right? Because, you know, when you are, or when a person's still kind of hanging out in the groups of people drinking and still, you know, whether you're sober and still attending a lot of parties or still doing social events that involve alcohol, and you're able to see how people are and are not. For me, I don't do that. You know, I go to meetings and I stay home and stay with my family and work. And so I'm not surrounded by people drinking. Every once in a while, I do get a glimpse of a person and I immediately think, oh, this guy's an alcoholic, right? I shouldn't do that. Maybe they're not. Usually if you're drinking in the middle of the day, you probably have a drinking problem. But hey, I don't know, right? But one of the things, especially if a person like, if a person has gone through the 12 steps, honestly worked hard, gone through the 12 step, really exposed our true problem, which is usually self, right? And the demons, because I do believe this is a spiritual imbalance, spiritual malady. This is really a battle between good and evil. Evil doesn't always look evil, but it definitely stinks. And so today, you know, I'll meet people, and I don't know if they're actively drinking or not drinking, but I can tell when they're dry. And that happened yesterday, and it's happened, you know, and it's a person that's close to me in my life. I don't associate with them a lot, but I do associate with them quite a bit. I don't hang out with this person a lot, but I do see him quite a bit, you know, at least probably once a week, communicate maybe a couple times a week. But I can see that the drama and the bullshit that surrounds this person. And I think this person is an alcoholic. Now, is it my problem? No, it's not. Is it any of my business? Not really. But when I have to interact with the person and, you know, I can see this, I can see it, it's, you know, it's tough. And, you know, I've tried to help many alcoholics. I try to be there for a lot of people, but sometimes it's just hard to approach somebody to say, hey, are you having troubles, right? Are you having problems? But I think this person is, and it's unfortunate, and it's starting to affect my life, and it was annoying. I had to interact with this person yesterday, and, you know, one of the things when I was actively drinking, and then when I finally did put down the bottle, of course, in my mind, I'm like, yes, right? I have been trying to do this for so long, put down this freaking bottle of alcohol, and I finally have done it, and success, right? I've done it. I've done the impossible. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes more than just putting down. I mean, you definitely got to do that, right? That's the one thing we have to do perfectly, not drink, right? We don't have to do, what do they say? The only step we have to do perfectly is the first one, right? Admit we're powerless over alcohol and their lives have become unmanageable. I guess the rest is optional, but we really, to get anywhere in this program, you definitely have to stop drinking. But you know, today I've pulled the curtain back. I know what it's like. And so when I interact with people that are dry, and I don't even know if this person's, you know, I think, this topic has come up in his life. I don't know if he has decided to stop drinking, but I can tell you he's dry, and it's annoying, right? It's like, I really have trouble tolerating because I know what's going on. Right. And, it's always about being inconvenienced, right? My buddy Matt used to say, guys like me and you are arrogant. And, you know, I believe these are all demons. And, you know, yesterday he became inconvenienced. and arrogance showed up. And when that happens, people say and behave in a way that aren't typical ways we as things that we say in the way we behave. You know, we use cuss words, we get loud, you know, we sort of come unwound a bit. And, you know, this person is a, I don't know, a person of the cloth, right? They're big into Christianity and stuff. And I'm like, and he's yelling at me using the F word. I'm like, oh, man, I thought you were a Christian. What are you using the F word for? You know, I'm going to use it. And it's just, the problem is that it sort of becomes, like it says, our lives have become unmanageable. And I think back to those days, and of course, I don't really remember my life being that unmanageable. I had fucked it up so badly that I was basically drink, sleep, wake up, work, drink, sleep, wake up, work. Same shit every day. I had no real... my life wasn't multifaceted, right? I didn't have many things because all of those facets had gone dim. And, you know, my life had become unmanageable, really, to everybody else. And I've shared this before. My neighbors had had enough. My parents had had enough. Everybody had had enough. I probably was willing to keep going. Luckily, you know, the things that happened, and I ended up where I did, and Ron M. said, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor, and like I said, if it wasn't for that, I don't know, you know, I may have stayed at the meetings for a little while, but if I didn't feel like I was part of something, those voices, those demons start telling me, hey, these people don't like you, you know, we start working our way out of the program, and it's very, very tough. It happens to many, many people. I always try to, whenever we have a newcomer, I always try to say, hey, you know, go say hello, introduce myself, you know, make sure I say hi. Nothing feels better to an alcoholic who's coming from one of these lowest points in our life to come to a place where people say hello, right, and recognize that we're there and are rooting for us. And, but, you know, this person is just, their life is starting to become unmanageable to me and to other people. I had someone text me this morning. They're like, you know, I'm proud of how you handled that situation yesterday because, we did not feel like it was fair how you were treated. And I didn't feel like it was fair how I was treated either. And so, but you know, one of the things that I've learned in this program is that, you know, I don't have to react and behave in a way that I used to. And I don't think it's wrong to be honest. And when this person, you know, yesterday was like coming at me sort of aggressively, like walking towards me. And I said, why are you all aggressive towards me? Right? I mean, what's going on with you? And then they start saying, oh, I'm sick of people not doing this and effing that. And I'm like, hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. You know, why? And what's going on? Right, is he's possessed by a fucking evil spirit is what's going on, and he's possessed by inconvenience, and like I said, and Matt told me, and it's obviously clear on him, is that when things don't go his way and he becomes inconvenienced, arrogance shows up and bad behavior, and that's what happened yesterday. But you know, I could have been bothered by it. And I was slightly bothered by it, I guess, but I'm sort of getting used to it, right? And that sort of happens to the people around us, right? My neighbors sort of got used to my behavior. My parents definitely had become, they didn't like it, but they definitely had become used to it. My employer had become used to it. And as a person that's owned a business, and I've dealt with, especially when I was in the golf course business, you know, people not showing up and, you know, basically showing up, you know, half drunk, and you just like, okay, this is what I'm working with today. And we just become used to it. You know, I have slightly become used to it, but I am not also going to put up with it. And, but the cool thing was I didn't have to, you know, after the little argument and shit happened, you know, I didn't have to like carry this resentment. I'm like, this is what's going on. Probably. I said what I had to say. I'm happy, right? I'm grateful. I'm sober. And we actually ended up, you know, doing what we did. And then afterwards, you know, I went up to him and I shook his hand. I was like, thank you, brother. I love you. And he's like, yeah, you know, he looked at me like this. And it's always so funny because when a person, I think, is And even when I was, right, possessed by that spirit, right, that negative spirit that, you know, that's in all of us active alcoholics. And it was definitely, and it could still be active in me today. But, you know, I walk up to him and I shake his hand and I, you know, and I think he was like, and I just shake my hand, you know, and just kind of walk by. And I, you know, I trumped him, you know, I pulled that freaking hand towards me. And I said, man, I love you, man. You know, I love you. He's like, yeah, you know, and he looked at me side eyed, like, huh, like, what? Like, what? I can't believe you're saying this to me. And I'm like, I love you, brother. I love you, man. And I patted him on the back. I'm like, it's all good, man. And, you know, really diffused it. Where in the past I could have been like, fuck this asshole. You know, get your shit together, bro. And I didn't have to do that. I could still love a person, love my friend. And you know, in his defense, there is, he is also managing something that's tough to manage, which is kind of a club, right? And, you know, it's like herding cats, he always says. And so he's trying to have success in what he's doing, but it takes all of us. And it gets, you know, I do, my heart goes out to him because it is tough to manage a bunch of people. But the confusion was time. And, you know, and the funny thing is I was early. And then when I got there, it turns out in his eyes, I was late. Right. And so he's pissed. I'm pissed because I was early. So it was an opportunity for a lot of bad things. But, you know, in the end, it's how did I handle it? And, but, you know, they text me this morning and I said, listen, I think he's having a problem with alcohol. You know, I don't know if he's drinking, not drinking, but he's dry. You know, he's bitter. He's grumpy. He's a victim. All of that great stuff that can still happen to me. It still happens. No one's perfect, but I can see it today. And this person's like, yeah, I've heard about this. But the problem is that, you know, I don't want to see, you know, I've been part of this group for a while, and I know there's people that are in the group that have been in it before I was, but not many are left. A lot of our group has left. You know, I don't know if I talked about it, but I saw, I don't know, something on Instagram, you know, how do you build your clientele? Let's build our clientele. Let's build it. And I'm like, and that always seems to be the message, but this guy's like, hey, how do we keep the clientele that we have? And I was like, that's a very good idea, you know, and it sort of goes on in our club. And, you know, one of the people that's sort of been, labeled the person that's going to build the club, you know, she was like, we got to do this and we got to reach out to these people. And I go, why don't we figure out why we're losing so many members in our club? To me, that's a bigger question. I go through it in my business. You know, I lost a couple clients because of politics. I've learned my lesson, right? I don't talk, and I got to give myself, you know, I don't want to pull a muscle patting myself on the back, but I've been keeping my mouth shut, right? There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the news, and I've just been keeping my mouth shut, and it's worked out. It works out a lot better if I do that. I hate to be, like, so afraid to talk, you know, that I won't talk, but, you know, there's our cases, especially in business, where it's just smarter to just keep my mouth shut so that I keep my clients instead of trying to figure out how to get new ones. My biggest problem is my clientele is getting old. I'm getting older, and my clients are getting older. I had a client Tuesday, they canceled, they fell. You know, everyone's getting older, and it's, you know, but that's for a whole different podcast. But, you know, I guess the whole point is that, you know, I come into this program just wanting to stop drinking, and we work the steps, and we learn, and more is exposed, and we deal with humans, and we have conversations, and we work with sponsors and sponsees, and we learn a little more about ourselves in this real battle, right? And we work the steps, and we do a good moral inventory and a fifth step, and we reach out and clean up all of our character defects and stuff. And in the end, we're just kind of, you know, in a pretty good place. And everything around us or around me, when it happens like that, those dry moments just stand out like a sore thumb. And, you know, earlier I'd be like, hey, man, it sounds like you have a problem with drinking. Let me see if I can help you. Can't do that. I just have to go with it and be there, you know, hopefully when they're ready. But I can tell you, you know, his demons that's going on in his life and my angels, they don't get along, right? Him and I, you know, for some reason, we don't see eye to eye. And I think that that's because of this thing that's going on, because it's spirituality, right? All right. I don't know if that made any sense. I just want to try to do a podcast. It was something that came up yesterday. I'm trying to be pretty vague about it because, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and I don't want to call people out. But, you know, it's real. And I think the whole point is that as a person that's sober, we deal with people that are still struggling. And how do we handle it in a way that's not, isn't going to make things worse, right? All right, let me see if I can read the daily reflection. And yeah, this whole meeting change thing has been weird because, you know, it has been a routine that I've been doing for so long. My meetings have been in the evenings, and so it's like been a rush. I got to come home, get dinner. You know, the kids are like, are you going to a meeting? And I'm like, yes, you know, and none of that was the reason behind it. But like last night, my daughter's like, aren't you going to a meeting? And I go, nope, I'm cooking spaghetti. And she's like, what? What's going on? And I said, I already went to the meeting. I went to a noon meeting. And so it's not only a change in my schedule and my daily thing, but it's also, it's a change in my family's schedule because, you know, there's a point at the day where I'm just going to a meeting and they know it. And, you know, so if I can do it in the afternoon or in the morning, you know, I'm not taking away from them. Not like they have an issue with it, but you know, the whole thing is just it's interesting. So, all right, daily reflections. Let's see here. Throughout each day, October 16th, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. That's right. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. During my early years in AA, I saw step 10 as a suggestion that I periodically look at my behavior and reactions. If there was something wrong, I should admit it. If an apology was necessary, I should give one. After a few years of sobriety, I felt I should undertake a self-examination more frequently. Not until several more years of sobriety had elapsed did I realize the full meaning of step 10 and the word continued. Continued does not mean occasionally or frequently. It means throughout each day. Yeah, it's great. And I, you know, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I've shared before, I love that step, boy. I love to apologize. But, you know, at some point, you know, we have to also stop doing it over and over, right? You know, there's things that people do, and then they're like, hey, I'm sorry I did that. And it's like, good, I appreciate you recognizing it. I appreciate you apologizing. Now, don't do it again. Right, there was a lot of things that I did over and over again and again in sobriety that I would have to make amends for. And I thought, well, as long as I'm making amends, then it's okay. But the reality is that eventually I have to stop doing that, right? All right, well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. Have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. Consider this. Consider this. Hint of the century. Consider this slip that brought me to my knees, failed. What if all these fantasies come flailing around? Now I've said too much. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. Just a dream. That was just a dream.